If you have brought with you this morning a copy of the scripture, I want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In a moment or two, we're going to read verses 23 through verse number 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through verse number 29. I have the New King James Version with me this morning, and so if that's helpful for you, you can read along exactly as I am reading today. If you found that portion of scripture and you are able, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, his inerrant, and his infallible word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse number 23, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we love you very much, and we are grateful to have a copy of your book. Because in your word, Father, in the Bible, it speaks to us about how we are to live our lives. It speaks to us about those things that we are to commit to memory, to do, and to put into practice. And Father, I pray that we might be found faithful to the teaching of your book. And God, I pray this morning as we spend these next few minutes thinking about and preparing ourselves to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would help us to remember, help us to reflect, to be reminded of the truth that you have given to us in regard to this sacred time. Father, I pray this morning that you would be able to minister to each of us. Lord, I want to be someone that can be used by you today. So, God, I pray that you would use me. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. Help me to proclaim your message, Lord. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please go ahead and be seated. If you'll notice this morning, you probably did so when you came in the room and sat down in the worship center. You know that we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. You see the table has been prepared in front of us, and underneath the white linen cloth are the elements of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus tells us to do that. In fact, he doesn't really give us any significant or any amount of time in which to observe the Lord's Supper. He just simply tells us, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so what we do here at Parkside is we try to observe the Lord's Supper four times a year. And so four times a year, you will come together to worship as a church family, and you will participate in one of the most beautiful ordinances that God has given to the local church. The other, of course, being baptism. And it speaks to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We observe the Lord's Supper typically on the fifth Sunday of the month. And so basically what happens with the fifth Sunday of the month is that is about four times a year that we plan to observe the Lord's Supper. And there may be another occasional time that we would think that it's significant, important for us to observe the Lord's Supper, and we'll do it at that particular time. But what we need to understand, and I've explained this to you before, is that you're used to me as the pastor standing in front of you and preaching. And of course, I've done that now hundreds and hundreds of times. And this worship center, we've gathered together and you have listened to me preach a sermon to you. But what happens during the Lord's Supper is it isn't just the pastor doing the preaching. It is the people of the congregation that is doing the preaching. You are going to be doing the preaching this morning as you observe the Lord's Supper. And how you go about the process of observing the Lord's Supper says a lot about the depth of your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that should be important to us. It's an important thing to approach the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and there's some things that I want us to be reminded about as we think about observing the Lord's Supper. The first thing that I want us to be reminded about is that this table in front of us, it is a table of remembrance. It is a table of remembrance. Look at your text and notice what your Bible says in verses 24 and 25. We read this text and it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" And then he says, "Do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me." Look at verse 25. It says the same thing in verse number 25. "In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, and as often as you do it,'" the text then says, "do this in remembrance of me." And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, this table is a table of remembrance. You are to remember what Christ has done for you upon Calvary's cross, what price he paid for your sinfulness on Calvary's cross. And when we think about it, basically we think about two things, right? We think about his body, and we know that his body was a body that was broken. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper and we handle the elements of the Lord's Supper, we should be thinking about the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin. That's exactly what he did. He gave his body, his physical body, literally nailed to a cross, literally pierced, and literally shed his blood so that you might have an opportunity to know forgiveness and to be saved. And that's what this represents. So when we take up the bread is symbolic to us. It is symbolic of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've spent a lot of time thinking about the crucifixion, and we know that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus was not a pretty picture. It was a cruel and terrible thing to have to go through. His body literally broken. The body of the Son of God literally broken, so that you might know forgiveness. Do you understand that? You think about his body being broken. We also think about his blood being spilt. We know that his blood was spilt upon the cross. We know that his blood was spilt from the crown of thorns that he wore upon his head. We know that his blood was spilt by the piercings that he had in his hands and in his feet. We know that his blood was spilt by the sword that went up into his side. He spilt his blood for you. But you know what the Scripture says? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus shed his blood so that your sinfulness could be covered. He makes that possible for you. Only if you believe. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we need to know and understand that this table is a table of remembrance. There's a second thing that I want to call to your attention. Not only is it a table of remembrance, but secondly, it is a table of proclamation. It is a table of proclamation. Look in your Bible and notice what it says in verse number 26. It says in verse number 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." You're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. You are. You're going to observe the Lord's Supper. You are going to handle the element of unleavened bread. You are going to handle the element of juice, symbolic of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And you know what you're doing when you handle it? When you put that wafer in your mouth and you eat it, and when you drink that cup, what you're doing is you're preaching a sermon. You're saying, this is what I believe about Jesus. See, it's not just me as the preacher preaching, it's you preaching. You're proclaiming to everyone in this room, you're proclaiming to all among us that you believe that Jesus gave his body and Jesus shed his blood upon the cross so that you might experience salvation. Forgiveness. It is a table of proclamation. You're preaching this morning. So not only is this a table of remembrance, but also this is a table of proclamation. You are saying, you are proclaiming that you believe that Jesus died for us as sinners. You are saying you believe that Jesus rose again from the grave on the third day. You are saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is returning. He is coming back again. It's both a backward look to the cross, and also it is a forward look to the fact that Jesus is returning. I believe that. And when I participate in the elements of the Lord's Supper, I'm proclaiming, this is what I believe. And it is the very essence that I believe as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he gave himself so that this old boy could be forgiven, so this old boy can be saved. And I'm going to preach the same sermon that you are this morning as I handle the elements of the Lord's Supper. The third thing that I want you to see this morning, not only is this a table of remembrance and a table of proclamation, but thirdly, this morning, it is a table of examination. Now, notice your text. Notice what it says. Let's look again at verses 37, 38, and 39. And the Bible says this. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," the text says, "and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Then it says in verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I really love how the New King James Version handles this passage of Scripture. It handles it really well. For years and years, many people relied upon the King James Version of the Scripture. And I think it was just poorly translated from the King James Version. Many people would read the King James Version and they would read it and they would tell themselves that they are not worthy to observe the Lord's Supper. And indeed, you're not. You know, it's all of grace, isn't it? It's all of grace that makes it possible for us to observe the Lord's Supper. And many people would feel as if there's no way they could participate in taking up the Lord's Supper because they felt like they were unworthy to observe the Lord's Supper. And indeed, all of us are unworthy the Lord's Supper. But you know what makes us worthy? What makes us worthy is Jesus. He makes us worthy. And so this text is asking you to look at your heart, to look at your life, to look at your spirit. Ask yourself this. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And as for me, I do. I know Him as my Savior. I was born again. I was saved. I have accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm grateful for that. So I know that He has made me worthy of observing the Lord's Supper. So the second thing He's asking us to think about is, well, how do you observe the Lord's Supper? Are you worthy? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? But what is the manner in which you approach this worshipful time? Do you approach it flippantly? Do you approach it sneeringly? Or do you truly understand that this is a time of worship? A time of worship when we're truly proclaiming what we believe about Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, therefore qualifying to be our Savior. Jesus, the perfect, sinless God, died in a cruel way upon the cross, was buried in a borrowed grave. And He was in that borrowed grave for just a short period of time, for 3 days. Then He was resurrected from the dead. Right? And He did all of that so that you can be saved. That's amazing to me that somebody like me can be saved. And it's amazing that somebody like you can be saved. See, we should examine ourselves anytime we approach worship to make sure that we truly are worshiping the one who died for us. You see, when you look at this passage of Scripture, it doesn't necessarily deal with your worthiness. What it really deals with is your participation, how you go about observing it. This table is not for perfect people. This table is for redeemed people who are truly worshiping the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you can't truly worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is then that you should choose to abstain from the Lord's Supper. So in just a moment or two, we're going to pass out these elements. And it's for you to participate. You to participate, number one, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you're a child of God, then you should observe the Lord's Supper. Number two, if you can do it in a worshipful manner, you should observe the Lord's Supper. So as we pass these elements out in just a moment or two, and you're not a child of God, you've never been saved, you probably shouldn't observe the Lord's Supper. You should let the tray pass in front of you. And if the tray passes in front of you and you know that you're a child of God, but your heart's not where it needs to be in regard to worship to Him, you should let the tray pass in front of you, because it's not for you. It's for those of us that know Jesus, and it's for those of us who truly are worshipers. And that's what you need to consider this morning. So we're going to give you an opportunity to get your heart and to get your mind and to get your life right. I'm going to ask musicians to come forward, and we're going to have an invitation. What I mean by that is simply you're invited. You're invited to respond to what God has spoken to you about. And if there's something that you need to make right this morning, make that right. If you don't know Jesus, make that right. If you're not worshipful, make that right. If your life is filled with sinfulness, make that right this morning before we observe the Lord's Supper. You do that. You respond while we sing this song.
Let's stand together. 300.